Good evening and welcome, my friends. You are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. I am your host, Frank Whalen. Very excited to have you with us here tonight. It is Thursday, March 29th, 2007, 11 p.m. here in the Central Time Zone. The beginning of another program. I'm always excited, actually, to be in here. You might not think it, but truly I am, because there's a lot going on. And tonight, we are guest-free this evening, which is not a big deal. And it's not to say that I don't like the guests. I love having the guests on. It's certainly a wonderful, wonderful thing. However, things are just getting to the point where I think we need to focus on some news. We're going to look at quite a bit of things this evening, including sort of the, I guess you could say the Iran-UK situation, what's going on with those sailors, Marines. We're also going to look at Venezuela, how that ties in with the Iran thing. And we're also going to look at politics, politicians, and surveillance, and some stories about the church as well. So there's certainly a plethora of information out there, and we're going to dive into all of it here this evening. I invite you to be a part of it. I invite you to stick around for the fastest 4 hours in talk radio. Welcome to all of you listening on shortwave at frequency 3.215. Welcome to all of you listening online at republicbroadcasting.org, as well as franklyspeakingradio.com. You should know this by now, our phone number, 800-313-9443, toll-free and worldwide, 1-800-313-9443. So because we have all 4 hours to play, you're more than welcome to give us a call here. If you'd like to start off the program with some phone calls this evening, feel free to do so. You know the number. And because once I get going with the news, I don't really stop. I'm sure you probably noticed that. It's just my way. I just think it, odds are it's probably, it's just one of those things. If you're doing a news segment, let's say you got 30, 40 stories in front of you, you know, you may be commenting on story number three by the time you call, by the time you call in, I'm on story number five, in which case your comment might be, somewhat regressive. So, it's just one of those things. It's just, that's just how I work, I throw the blinders on, I run for the goal line. That's it. So that's kind of what I'm looking at here with this course of news stories. And it's just getting out of control. I'm surrounded by a sea of dead trees in the form of paper. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of papers in front of me. And I do my best to kind of organize my thoughts and look at the stacks and try to figure out, where did I put that story? And what about this section? And I did a news segment like this recently. No, I didn't. I meant to, but I never got around to it. And here's the pile of things I've talked about. Here's the pile of things I haven't talked about. Here's the pile of things I want to talk about. Here's the pile of things that I had intended to talk about because I wanted to talk about it but didn't get a chance to talk about it. So on and so on and so on. It just goes on and on. But, the beauty of having a night show, I think, is that we do have people who just like to sit and listen, in which case you'll get your news edumacation here this evening as we go into this stuff. And I'll probably start doing this at least once a week, while the news cycles are at such a peak these days, because they are, in all honesty. And I think that we're in sort of a very interesting time, sort of the time when you pause and you sort of take a deep breath before you jump on in to the icy cold pool water for the first time of the year. It's the same thing, and you're watching that manifesting in these news cycles, and it's coming out all over the place. You'll see some things briefly mentioned in the mainstream news. Maybe it'll get a quick blurb and then glossed over in favor of the hard-hitting news, like Anna Nicole Smith. Okay, she died. Then her body is here, and then her body is there, and then here's a clip, and then here's an account from a police officer, and here's a guy that met Anna Nicole when she was 14 years old and said hi to her, and so on and so forth. And these things are just nonstop with the coverage. Well, obviously, politics and corruption and certainly price gouging, all these things are going to pop up here in this news segment. Stay with us, folks. We'll be back in three.
Sit back, relax, and enjoy a vacation to the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Howard Creek Resort is nestled conveniently between the cities of Bull Shoals and Mountain Home on Bull Shoals Lake in the natural state of Arkansas. Howard Creek Resort offers easy access to excellent fishing and water recreation of all types. The excitement of nearby Branson music shows and Silver Dollar City is accented perfectly by the many attractions located here in the heart of the Ozarks. Horseback riding, water skiing, scuba diving, hiking, caves, and rock climbing are just a few of the many activities that are available to do in our area. Howard Creek Resorts offers it all. Whether you're staying for the weekend or for a month, Howard Creek Resorts is the place to be, an excellent place to stay, and a valued traditional family vacation resort. Visit our website at www.howardcreek.com or call 1-877-253-7690. Come visit us for a lifetime of memories.
Americans who already realize our nation is in deep trouble need special edition hard copy literature to awaken the widest possible spectrum of people to the imminence of our nation's peril. The Artificially Sweetened Times informs people that the artificial sweetener aspartame is a hidden addiction killing people worldwide with a cluster of symptoms we now call Rumsfeld's disease. Find out who is responsible for unleashing this weapon of mass misery on the world and become part of the global movement to eliminate this neurotoxic drug from our food supply. The People's Income Tax Guide cites congressional records, Supreme Court decisions, and newspaper articles at the time to prove conclusively that wages were never intended to be taxed as income. A lot has happened in the world since 9/11. The report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 disproves the government's explanation of September 11 through a careful analysis of the evidence. The Artificially Sweetened Times, the People's Income Tax Report, and the report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 are priced for mass distribution. Sample copies are just $3. Call 208-255-2307 or go to idaho-observer.com.
Stay connected
to what's happening at the Republic Broadcasting Network by visiting our website,
www.rbnlive.com.
At rbnlive.com, you'll stay up to date with our latest broadcast schedule, learn about upcoming events, read about our air personalities and the programs they host, take part in discussion forums, read the latest breaking news, and listen to RBN programs on your computer by connecting to our live broadcast stream. Plus, you can download previous RBN programs from the archive completely free of charge. That's right. Unlike other services, there is no charge to download programs from the RBN archive. Share them freely with others who are not yet listeners to the Republic Broadcasting Network and help spread the word. We're taking America back through the power of information. Stay connected to the Republic Broadcasting Network and our website, rbnlive.com.
Love, come quick. Love, come in a hurry. There are thieves in the temple tonight. They don't care where they kick, just as long as they hurt you.
Good evening. Welcome back, folks. You're listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. I am your host, Frank Whalen. Glad you're here. So, talking about some news here this evening, and a lot of church-related stories, you know, different things like that. We've talked about some of them. We've talked about the evangelical sort of, at least, sort of split, although the split is definitely on the side of global warming. And I had mentioned that that was going to happen. It is happening. It will probably happen further as time goes on. No big surprise there. The Pope recently came out and said hell and eternal damnation are real, and don't you think otherwise. He's wrong, but that's a whole show in and of itself. We're not going to get into that now, but I've done programs on hell and sort of the aspects of it. It's very, very interesting and definitely worth listening to if you ever get a chance. So let's talk about this one. This one definitely jumped out at me. It took place in Arkansas, and you can find this at the Christian Chronicle. Came out on Tuesday. Attacks leveled at those of faith represent a great threat against America, said a federal appeals court judge at Harding University. Judge Janice Rogers Brown, a member of the Silver Spring, Maryland Church, spoke on faith and freedom as part of Harding's American Studies Institute lecture series. Said Brown, a judge for the U.S. Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia Circuit, quote, this is what she said. In my view, Christianity at its best is the foundation of reason and liberty. The true American religious tradition, the one that disciplines power, subjugating it to reason, truth, and ultimately an all-powerful God, is not a threat to liberty, but its best defender, end quote. Anybody see some terms jump out at you, maybe? Now, what she's saying, Christianity, okay, is all good things, and Christianity is the best defender of liberty, particularly here in America, okay? And she says, why? Christianity at its best is the foundation of reason and liberty. She said, the true American religious tradition subjugates reason, truth, and ultimately subjugates power to reason, truth, and ultimately God. It's not a threat to liberty, but its best defender. So that term there, of course, which jumped out now four times as I've read it twice, reason. She mentions reason specifically. Christianity at its best is the foundation of reason. And then she says, the true American religious tradition disciplines power, subjugating it to reason, she says. Let me remind you of something. Secular humanism. You ever heard about that? It's all about reason, folks. It's all about reason. And she is incorporating reason into Christianity. I'm not saying that Christianity is unreasonable by any means. I'm just saying that that is sort of the big tenet there of secular humanism. Anyway, she goes on to say this. Brown said that those who attack the religious right, quote, essentially argue that the true American religion demands acceptance of, indeed submission to, a common political vision, their vision. Those who attack the religious right argue that the true American religion demands acceptance of and submission to a common political vision, their vision. Did you understand that? Let's pick this apart now. Those who attack the religious right, okay, the evangelicals and whatnot, are saying that the true American religion demands submission to a common political vision, their vision. So she's calling evangelicalism, I guess, is that a word? She's saying that is the true American religion. The religious right are the representatives of the true American religion. And if you argue, if you attack the religious right, you are attacking the true American religion. Now, some of you out there are probably saying, yeah, what's wrong with that? Well, I don't know. I thought this country was founded on the right to practice the religion of your choice myself, but maybe that's just me. I didn't know there was a true American religion, a religion of America, a religion about America. There is. It's called politics. She's certainly a member of that. She goes on, in the 20th century, secular humanism crept into America and Western governments, promising openness and tolerance for diverse groups, religions, and philosophies. And then she goes on to criticize secular humanism and saying how it doesn't work. And, you know, she's right. But in essence, again, Christianity is the best foundation of reason. True American religious tradition disciplines power, subjugating it to reason. Now, if you go to wikipedia.org, you'll find this for yourself under secular humanism. It says, secular humanism is a humanist philosophy that upholds reason, ethics, and justice, and specifically rejects the supernatural and the spiritual as warrants of moral reflection and decision-making. In essence, that's like their biggest point, reason. It's named as their first sort of tenet that they believe in here in the Wikipedia. Now, granted, it's Wikipedia, right? It's just an internet posting. It's an open source as far as information goes, but nevertheless, it is still there. And if it's accessible to me, it's accessible to you. And if it's accessible to you, it's accessible to Judge Janice Rogers Brown. Secular humanism, it goes on, describes a worldview with the following elements and principles. The need to test beliefs. Reason, evidence, and the scientific method. Fulfillment, growth, creativity. The search for truth. A concern that this life is a commitment to making the world meaningful through better understanding, blah, 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 blah. Ethics, building a better world. A conviction that with reason, an open exchange of ideas, goodwill, and tolerance, progress can be made in building a better world for ourselves and our children. So right there, and then, and again, Judge Janice Rogers Brown is not the only one who's going to cite reason as far as faith goes and reason as far as Christianity goes. The Pope did it as well. Months and months and months ago. But anyway, I thought it was an important point to point out there. As she attacks secular humanism, she uses the rationale about Christianity as being a, the religious right is the true American religion, and says that these things in Christianity uphold reason and liberty and so on and so forth, blah, 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 blah. Anyway, I just think it's important to note that just like a politician, she does give a politician answer. She does sort of dance around issues. She couches it in flowery terminology and probably just dazzled people as they were falling asleep at this lecture series at this college. Because I know I would have been doodling at the time. That just bores me. This is from the Salt Lake Tribune, and it came out on the 28th. Evangelical Christians, now remember the true American religion, claim that they distributed 350,000 anti-Mormon DVDs in Utah on Sunday, hoping to convince members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints that the church is a non-Christian cult. Which it is. Maybe you didn't know that, but it is. The Mormons, of course, founded by Joseph Smith. He was a Freemason. He incorporated the secretive rituals of Freemasonry into Mormonism. That's a word. And it's just all a bunch of crap. If you've ever looked at some of the beliefs of the Mormons and just like Scientologists, it's so outrageous. You want to just, well, you want to be pinched. You want to be woken up. Because you'd say, how can anybody in their right mind believe this? A good statement. It's a fact as well. What does that tell you about their mindset? It goes on. They said, meaning the Christians, they gave out another 150,000 DVDs across the U.S. and Canada, about 500,000 altogether. Hundreds of volunteers placed the discs, which featured a picture of the church founder Joseph Smith in the Salt Lake Temple, on doorknobs in a white plastic bag that said this, quote, good news for LDS, end quote. Others handed out the bags after Monday night's jazz game in downtown Salt Lake City. Some confused it with the LDS Church's own promotional material rather than seeing the DVD as a critique of Mormon beliefs. So you have to ask yourself here, is this a Christian thing to do? I don't know. I guess you can really make a case either way. You know, are the Mormons off base? Yeah. But aren't the evangelicals also? Yeah. You'd have to ask yourself, 500,000 DVDs, it's a lot of money to film, produce, and do all that stuff. I mean, you could probably do it relatively cheaply, but still, even if it costs you, you know, 50 cents a piece or so, that's $250,000. But they got these evangelical Christian churches in the area to distribute this thing deceptively. Now, you could say, hey, look, I've been given deceptive church-based literature before. Well, what does that tell you? Isn't it all? But this is pretty rotten to a certain extent. They said good news for LDS. That's a Latter-day Saints church. And so they distributed these discs, which basically pick apart Mormonism without really identifying it as such. So if you are if you live in Utah, and you're definitely not a Mormon, and you'd be like one of three people probably, you would go ahead and see that, and you say, no more. No more Mormon propaganda. No thanks. I don't want your disc. Not knowing, in actuality, what it does is probably validate your disinterest in Mormonism. But for the Mormons, of course, they would view this and say, yay, my new propaganda package arrived. I can't wait to watch this film. What is this all about? And they watch it, and then they're horrified. See, you're sort of fighting an uphill battle in that regard. Anybody that's a dyed-in-the-wool Mormon is not going to watch that and say, you know what? You're so right. Thank you for your frontal assault on the foundation of my beliefs. I really appreciate that, and I'm ready to embrace anything you tell me to. Does anybody think that that's actually going to happen? Of course not. That isn't how the world works. That isn't how people work. Okay? You can't go to the Democratic National Convention and introduce Hillary Clinton and go into this big, long spiel about how her husband is part of the conspiracy. You can't go to the Republican National Convention and give a PowerPoint presentation about how George W. Bush was complicit in the attacks on September 11th. You're catering to the wrong crowd. You're trying to beat people into submission rather than sort of coaxing them along this road of the truth. So is this a Christian way to do these things? I don't really see it as such. You look at the Westboro Baptist Church. These are the idiots who go out and protest at the funerals of dead soldiers, saying God hates fags and death to fags and all that jazz. They're not necessarily saying that the soldiers themselves were gay. They're saying that because America somehow endorses homosexuality, that God is killing off soldiers as a result of that? Does that make any sense? Is there any logic there? See, this is the difference between how churches operate and certainly probably how you operate. Do you beat people over the head with the Bible, or do you sort of help them to understand it? What kind of world do we live in, anyway? This is just a case of one doctrine attacking another, saying that their way is right. It's just one more case of one doctrine calling the kettle black.
Wow, that coffee smells really good.
Hey, it's terrific, and it's healthy.
Healthy coffee. How does it taste?
Well, since healthy coffee blends are pre-brewed from organic Arabica beans, they're delicious.
Gosh, I had no idea coffee could be healthy.
Yeah, this coffee boosts your immunity, has 165 antioxidants for all kinds of health benefits. Plus, it gives you energy without a lot of caffeine. And since you're a big coffee drinker, I thought, well, maybe you'd want to know about it.
It sounds great, but how much does it cost?
Well, not much at all, really. A whole lot less than we've been paying for ordinary coffee at the coffee shop.
Wow, I'd love to try it, and I bet everyone at the office would, too. Where do I get some?
Just call toll-free, 866-222-3017, or you can go to coffeeking.biz. Ask for a sample when you're there, or get set up as a preferred customer with a 25% discount. I did.
Okay, that's toll-free, 866-222-3017, or coffeeking.biz. I'll do it now. Thanks.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. The J. Michael Stevens Group is shipping a lot of storable food. It's smart that you're getting going at your food supplies. 1 week after the report came out that the world had eaten more food than it produced last year, the country turned into a deep freeze, wiping out a huge part of the new crop. An example? In 24 hours, clementine oranges doubled in price. If you intend to start or finish your supply, call immediately. When you call, tell them how many adults and how many years of food you need. When there are shortages, missing items will be substituted, maintaining the quantity of food necessary. Money is not the problem. Availability is. Be careful. When food supplies get short, with no future, many retailers ship real trash to supply you. For safe food you can trust, call 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. 800-409-5633.
Welcome back. Glad you're here, folks. You're listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. Some news, some analysis, and definitely a lot of opinion on my part. So you're more than welcome to disagree with me. I just, I feel pretty strongly about the whole thing. And I've never really seen anything to change my mind. Maybe you have. But again, if you are a member of an organized church, don't be offended. I just view organized religions as inherently incorrect as far as sort of the truth of the Bible and whatnot, what we're supposed to do and how we're supposed to live. The churches, like I said, they all seem to have this mindset, you know, our doctrine is superior to theirs. You know, they'll sit up there and they'll either point fingers or they'll just do the condescending head shaking, those poor Mormons or those poor evangelicals, they just don't get it. It's just a silly way to operate. And then, of course, the Westboro Baptist Church, their methodologies, just nausea-inducing. and I interviewed a gal from there, Shirley Phelps Roper, I believe her name is. Yeah, she's the daughter of Fred Phelps, the head pastor there, and she's just this chick is just evil, just hatred oozing out of every pore, and you know, she's just having a bad day all the time, and wants to take it out on some dead soldiers' families. Real nice. I don't know, Thomas. She may be single. I doubt it, since she has a hyphenated last name. But you know, it's very possible. I think that she might be just the gal for you. The story goes on. Salt Lake Tribune from the 28th. Christian critics of the LDS Church, which again stands for Latter-day Saints, decided to produce a professionally crafted tell-all film, according to Chip Thompson. He's the director of the Tri-Grace Ministries in Ephraim, who helped the distribution. He would not say who funded the project. The film lays out their concerns about Mormonism, including Smith's claims about the Book of Mormon and other sacred Mormon texts, and his belief and his involvement with polygamy. It asks viewers to compare Smith with Jesus Christ and Mormonism with traditional Christian beliefs. Now, just from memory here, I've done some shows on the Mormons. It's comical. The belief structure that they have consists of something like this. Joseph Smith was approached by a Caucasian Native American Jew angel who gave him these golden tablets, and these golden tablets could only be read inside of a big hat. So he gets a big hat and he puts the golden tablets in there, and he dictates basically a new book of God, a new holy book, the Book of Mormon, and so they send it off to the to be printed or something, and they lose it. So he says, oh, no, you know, the guy says, oh, I'm sorry, I lost your, you know, all the information that you dictated to me. So let's, you know, just read me the tablets again. Well, obviously, there probably weren't any tablets, so he did it again. This time it was a little bit different and so on and so forth. But anyway, it's all Freemasonry linked, and it's just, it's bizarre. Honestly, truly, truly bizarre, as is some of the things I just mentioned. But true, to my knowledge. It goes on, the LDS Church and Mormon scholars disagree. Even some traditional Christians who also reject the LDS teachings see the new effort as counterproductive to their outreach to Mormons, and I do as well. Said LDS spokesman Scott Trotter, quote, "The accusations, innuendo, and mischaracterizations portrayed in the video are divisive and hurtful to open dialogue and conversation. It does not accurately represent the life of Joseph Smith or the doctrine and history of the church. Either deliberately or out of ignorance, the video ignores volumes of scholarly work which address the concerns raised. These criticisms are old and long ago asked and answered," end quote. Asked and answered. We've heard that from the politicians, have we not? Straight out of the Bush administration, probably every other presidential administration before him. Just a situation, oh, that's been addressed, that's been asked and answered, that's been responded to. Why do you keep bringing up the past? Blah, 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 blah. And the Mormons, of course, they claim their scholarly research has addressed these concerns. It's just like anything else. If you're familiar with cults at all, you know how they operate. And basically, that's why they have their people go door to door. They don't necessarily want to win converts, per se, although that's definitely a plus. The whole point in door-to-door evangelism is to reinforce the lie. You got a kid, maybe 14 years old or something like that, and this kid is told that he has to go and do 50 hours a week or 20 hours a week or 100 hours a week, whatever it is, of going door-to-door and evangelizing to people. Then that person goes to the door with the same spiel in mind all the time. Sometimes they're going to get people who are willing to listen to them. Sometimes they are not. But the point is, they always have a script in mind, and the script that they've committed to memory. They also are provided with, this is an interesting little factoid, maybe you don't know, they're also provided with a list of counter-arguments. The script will say something like, if a person at the door says, Mormonism, that's crazy, then your response is this. So they're told to give all this information in response. And I've had some fun with some Mormons who've mistakenly, and I'm sure regrettably, knocked on my door, and we'll talk about that and finish the story when we come back. Stay with us, back in 3 minutes with more Frankly Speaking Radio.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
The Idaho Observer is one of the last independent American presses and isn't afraid to print the truth. The Idaho Observer is a monthly 24-page hard copy newspaper in its fifth year of addressing important issues affecting all freedom-loving Americans. If you are concerned about the burgeoning national debt and the Orwellian police state growing up around you, then subscribe to the Idaho Observer. Only $25 for 12 monthly issues. Idaho Observer readers receive vital insight into events as they unfold. Our articles editorially emphasize activism and serve as a networking tool for like-minded individuals determined to make a difference. The Idaho Observer, printing what you need to be fully informed on issues that matter to real Americans. Go to idaho-observer.com or call 208-255-2307. That's 208-255-2307.
Hi, this is John Statler, and I want to tell you about a new shortwave receiver that we're really excited about. It's the Kato KA1103, and let me tell you, this radio has features and performance of receivers costing 2 to 3 times the price. Features include dual conversion phase lock loop tuner for continuous coverage of the entire shortwave band, AM, FM, and medium bands, 268 memory presets, single sideband reception with fine tuning control, signal strength, meter, battery, power indicator, DX local select, tone select, auto backlight screen, extra long telescopic antenna, line out and external line in jacks, and many other features too long to list. And when you purchase a Kato KA1103, you just don't get a radio, you get an entire radio package, including an external antenna, stereo earbuds, and an AC adapter, rechargeable batteries, and a nice carry pouch. So if you've been considering buying a shortwave receiver or would like to upgrade from your present radio, the KA1103 at just $110 plus $9 shipping is an outstanding value. Call us at 800-724-2719. 800-724-2719.
Gold, ever climbing, as the dollar continues to spiral into a free fall. How long before it hits rock bottom? Between 1800 and 1913, the value of the dollar was more or less constant. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, the value of the dollar has depreciated 97%. Due to global inflationary policies and the continued erosion of the U.S. dollar, gold and silver are still in the early stages of the greatest bull market the world has ever seen. Whether you purchase precious metals to stabilize your portfolio or you're looking for strong growth, gold and silver will provide you with both. Don't you owe it to yourself to do business with Republic Trading Group? Call us today and become a part of the raging bull in gold and silver. 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898. Call now. 1-800-691-7898.
Welcome back. Glad you're here, my friends. You are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. I am your host, Frank Whalen, doing some news tonight, all 4 hours. It's going to be fun. So we're talking about this story from the Salt Lake Tribune on the 28th about this evangelical Christians have had this guerrilla marketing campaign distributing 350,000 anti-Mormon DVDs in Utah to Mormons, presumably. Anyway, so the Mormons are upset about this, and according to one of their spokespersons, he said, these criticisms are old and long ago asked and answered, saying that the video ignores volumes of scholarly work which address the concerns. Blah, 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 blah. So again, if you've ever had the distinct pleasure of having a Mormon knock on your door, you probably know the whole spiel and what it's all about, and they want you to read their literature and so on and so forth. But again, like I said, they probably regretted knocking on my door, quite simply because I have just as much literature as they do. And, of course, when they knock on the door, you know, if I'm in the mood, I'll play with them a little bit, and I'll say, hang on a second. I'll run in, and I'll go to the bookshelves, and I'll start pulling off various volumes and flipping to well-marked and well-read pages, and I'll quote things back to them, and they'll say, well, that's just a conspiracy theory. That's just from the Internet. No, it's from a book. Yes, but it came from the Internet. Oh, okay. What about stuff that came out before the Internet? Well, that's been asked and answered. You know, that same sort of thing. Anyway, it's kind of funny. And then when I brought up various elements like the sort of the posthumously baptizing people into the faith, which they do. I don't know if you knew that. If somebody dies and they're not a Mormon, the Mormons will actually sort of baptize them in spirit into the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. So they'll take somebody, let's say to somebody like that is very prominent, or let's say Anna Nicole Smith, right? She just recently died, and we've heard all about it. And let's say that everybody looks at her and says, this is the paragon of humanity. This is the person everybody aspires to be. We really want this person to be affiliated with us, so let's just baptize them into the Mormon faith. And then in their records, and the Mormons, I'll give them this, they're phenomenally great record keepers. Anybody that's ever sort of done any genealogical research will tell you that the Mormons are very, very good at that. They have a lot of records, a lot of access. So now forever, for all of human history, Anna Nicole Smith will be remembered as a Mormon. See how easy it is to increase their numbers? They just baptize dead people. It's bizarre. So you bring up stuff like that, and you know, they have their own little rationale for that, and they have their own little rationale for the polytheistic nature of Mormonism. Anyway, it is what it is, but it's very, very interesting. So those are the asked and answered questions. They're not. LDS researchers and scholars, it says, at the Foundation for Apologetic Information and Research, which stands for FAIR, have issued a point-for-point rebuttal of the film's main arguments. Said Scott Gordon, president of FAIR, quote, rather than focus on what they believe, the video's producers have taken upon themselves to describe and interpret LDS beliefs and teachings, often in ways that would be objectionable or unrecognizable to Latter-day Saints, end quote. So what he's saying is, instead of countering those points, they're going to counter the points by way of saying what we really believe is this rather than what you said we believe, which isn't really an answer, honestly, at all. So this point-for-point rebuttal, I haven't seen the video and I haven't seen the rebuttal. I'd have to wager probably both just political, you know, politician-style answers, just a bunch of shenanigans, a bunch of dancing around the point. The film includes part of the church's temple ceremonies, which Mormons never discuss outside the sanctuary, said Gordon. He said, quote, they offend us and then ask us to join them. They don't understand us at all, end quote. Well, there you go. I agree with him. You can't convince people that your way is the right way by beating them over the head with scripture, even fake scripture. But again, it's going to backfire, I have no doubt. The story concludes with this. Joe Wren, a South Ogden Mormon, was among the thousands who found a white bag on his doorknob. After viewing the film and realizing its purpose, he walked his neighborhood and saw scores of white bags, but no volunteers to discuss the issues with him. No one had knocked on his door either. He said, quote, I found it distasteful, not to mention an extremely unchristian tactic of being so sneaky and underhanded. It is amazing they would stoop to that level, end quote. Well, that's kind of the point, isn't it? So, you know, if you're going to do things by way of, you know, the Mormon way, then they should have done that. They should have had the volunteers on the doorstep asking the questions, you know, responding, saying, here, watch this DVD. You give me one of your Book of Mormons, and I will give you this DVD, and I'll read your book, and you watch my movie, and we'll get together next week and talk about it. I mean, if you're serious about winning converts, that's the way to do it, right? I mean, I would think so. It's very, very interesting. Anywho, it's just a story. It's a story of nonsense, I think. And anyway, just a little bit of sort of strategizing about how to win people over. It's not really about that anymore. Do you see? The churches have become a place where people can point fingers, a place where people can use this groupthink mentality to make themselves feel better than other denominations or whatnot. And again, not really try to win them over to your side, but rather to try to make them feel bad about the choices they've made. Yeah, it's just a different way of doing things. I don't see it. I don't see the purity of that type of mindset. I don't see the purity and the intent of the scriptures in the interactions that the churches have with each other and with others as well. It's just, it's bizarre to me. Anyway, on to the next story. This one came out on the 22nd from stltoday.com, out of Missouri, of course. It says, a dire apocalyptic prophecy in the Bible's Book of Revelation is getting a new audience, state legislators. Several evangelical Christian groups say the federal Real ID Act, which will standardize state driver's licenses and link them to the corresponding national ID numbers by 2009 represents the quote-unquote mark of the beast, the devilish number 666 that is attached to the godless. This nearly 2,000-year-old passage is referred along with the prophetic locusts, plagues, oceans of blood, and rivers of fire found in the Bible. Soon after, according to Scripture, the Antichrist takes control of the world and Jesus Christ returns. In short, the new national ID numbers could spell the beginning of the end, some Christians believe. Said Irvin Baxter, Jr., founder and president of End Time Ministries in Dallas, he said, quote, "This is getting treacherously close to prophecy in Scripture," end quote. And some Missouri legislators are listening. Some Christians interpret verses from the book of Revelation that say humans will be, quote, marked so that no one can buy or sell who does not have that mark, end quote, as a prophecy of the global numerical control system to be used by the beast or the Antichrist. The number would be used during the Great Tribulation, which some Christians believe will precede the second coming of Jesus. Most religious scholars agree that the beast in Revelation is a metaphor for the Roman Emperor Nero, who prosecuted Christians and Jews in horrific ways that were likely to be remembered only a couple of generations later when Revelation was written. What? They do? Most religious scholars agree that that's what they think that is? I've never heard that before. I've never heard that. That the beast in Revelation is a metaphor for Nero? Most religious scholars would agree, though, apparently. None are sourced in this story, by the way, but most apparently believe that, which is news to me. It goes on, but some evangelical Christians take the mark of Revelation more literally and believe that a number-based identification system in the U.S. will eventually spread throughout the world, only to be used by a global dictator like the Antichrist, who will control the international trade with the numbers issued under the Real ID program. State Representative out of Missouri, Jim Guest, is sponsoring a bill that would exempt that state from complying with the federal law. The Missouri House overwhelmingly approved Guest's bill last Thursday by a 146-4 majority. It has moved to the Senate for consideration. Guest, a Republican from King City in northeastern Missouri, said his main reservation with the program is its potential for Big Brother-like abuses. He said, quote, "We could be tracked by machines everywhere we go," end quote. He was referring to provisions that require machine-readable technology in the ID cards and added, quote, "This could signal the death of individual freedoms and rights," end quote. But Guest, who has recruited legislators from 35 other states to introduce legislation opting out of the Real ID Act, said he has received hundreds of phone calls, emails, and letters from constituents who are more fearful about biblical prophecies coming true if the program goes unchecked. Said Guest, who calls himself a practicing Methodist, quote, "Some people are genuinely worried about it. These are people who believe that a national ID number symbolizes something religiously evil," end quote. So they're worried about everybody being identified with a number. Don't we already have that? Yes, we do, but we don't have the technology to go along with it yet, or at least not until they continue on with this. It goes on, the Department of Homeland Security said the cards would help boost national security by requiring their use to board airplanes and enter federal buildings. See, so my question is, if I don't board airplanes, which I don't, and I don't go into federal buildings, which I don't, do I then get to be exempt from the national ID card? No. So how is me not having it making everybody else unsafe? The answer is, of course, it's not. Anyway, said the Department of Homeland Security's spokesman, Russ Nock, quote, "This is a known vulnerability. It was recommended by a bipartisan 9/11 commission and mandated by Congress. Shame on us if we don't heed the lessons of September 11th, end quote. Ah, yes, invoking the specter of September 11th for political agenda, as always. Now, he's going on to validate these concerns of the Real ID Act, saying that it was recommended by a bipartisan September 11th commission. So the very fact that you have Democrats and Republicans makes it legitimate, right? No, of course not. They're all in on this together. Absolutely not. That's not a validation. That's a further reason for suspicion right there. Now, keep in mind, the September 11th commission, by the way, bipartisan that they are, were also the same people who made the statement that there is more evidence linking al-Qaeda to Iran than there is linking al-Qaeda to Iraq's Saddam Hussein. Thereby, bipartisanly, making the case that the war on terror should extend to Iran, which it will, and which we'll talk about later. But it's very, very interesting. Anywho, the story goes on. Some states have balked at the law, which they say lacks adequate funding and clear language for compliance. And again, the reason why they've balked at the law is because various governors and whatnot will be up for re-election probably in 2008. So, you know, this is a big issue for them, certainly a big issue for, you know, the presidential race and so on and so forth. So expect no action probably until after the 2008 election. We're too close to it. The politicians don't really care. They're more focused on their own agenda and their sort of continuity of employment to really be too concerned with ironing out details and whatnot with the Real ID Act. But it will happen probably. Legislators in Arkansas and Georgia have offered resolutions to strike down the Real ID Act, and Maine recently passed a non-binding resolution refusing to go along with the federal program. Oh, good for all of them. You notice that Maine's is a non-binding resolution, as most of them are. But anyway, regarding, it says, the Real ID, biblical scripture is getting misconstrued, said Frank A. Flynn, an adjunct professor of religious studies at Washington University. This is what he had to say, this brainiac. Flynn said that the book of Revelation is so full of symbolism that nearly anything can be read from it. At one time or another, Jewish bankers, John F. Kennedy, communists, Osama bin Laden, and Saddam Hussein have all been said to bear the mark. What does that mean? That only Jewish bankers, JFK, communists, bin Laden, and Saddam Hussein can buy and sell goods? Is that what that means? What is he talking about? What is this story about? Anyway, still, it says, sinners and non-sinners alike are lining up to take a swipe at the new federal driver's license program. Amish, Mennonite, and some Muslim groups are objecting to mandates that require their photo to be taken, and some domestic violence groups oppose the use of addresses on the cards for fear that abusive spouses might compromise the system. What it boils down to, ladies and gentlemen, the Real ID Act, aside from the abuse of power, is the fact that your information will be digitized and available to anyone with a machine reader, in essence. If they can do this, they can pick you apart. Whatever it is that's on there. I mean, we're told about identity theft as being a huge concern. Yet they're going to institute this thing that's going to have sensitive information about you that can be stolen by somebody who's just moderately talented with technology. Does that make sense? Well, it's hard to say it's illogical when you've got the president advocating the security of ports to be turned over to Dubai or United Arab Emirates. When we're told that we could be struck by terrorism at any time, it makes just about as much sense for the RFID-embedded national ID card as to say that we should have open borders when we're told in the same breath that, you know, terrorists could strike us at any time. Where's the logic in this country? It's not there. So you're not going to find it in the Real ID Act, and you're not going to find it in anything else. But keep in mind, the good thing about this is that there are stories, even if the stories are bizarre, even if the stories tend to poo-poo some moderately important details. The point is that they're trying to sort of paint Christians and Bible readers as conspiracy theorists, in essence. We're all paranoid, delusional, crazy Christians anyway. So as a result of that, you know, just let's mock the Christians. Let's say, microchip, you're crazy. And we talked about this, the Left Behind Prophecy Conference. We had some audio clips from that in which the preacher in question was making statements that the microchip implant was a great thing. And he can't understand why anybody would be against it. It's a great thing. It's not the mark of the beast. And, of course, he misuses the translation of Revelation, which identifies the location, meaning, of course, in or on. He confuses that intentionally so to make his point. So it's just like anything else. Even the devil can cite scripture. But the point is, folks, at least the story is getting out. Now, granted, it's getting out and painting Christians in a bad light, but Christians are always painting themselves in a bad light, too. Take a look at some of the stories we've already addressed. But focusing specifically on the RFID and the in the national ID card, this story came out on the 26th. You can find this at Engadget.com. Here's what it says. Washington state drivers are soon to be subject to a pilot trial of RFID-embedded driving licenses that will be used to facilitate the passage of Americans returning from trips to Canada. Hooray! Good for you. So all of our listeners out there in Washington state, this is a great thing for you. You can now have the very first RFID-embedded driver's license. And you got to pay for it, of course, but this is a great thing, right? I mean, how excited are you guys? Well, you're probably not. The new licenses will be issued from January of 2008 and will look almost identical to traditional driver's licenses, but will include information about citizenship and other unnamed variables. If there's one thing I'd love, it's unnamed variables. Just love unnamed variables. So in essence, what they're saying here is this is a huge benefit to people because people in Washington State, maybe you like taking a quick jaunt across the border there into Canada, drink some Canadian beer, feel like you have twice as much money in your pocket than you did on your side of the border. Now you can do so without a passport. Ah, you see, we talked about the passport laws and how they were doing all this. We talked about why. I think it was a morning show back at the time. But we did talk about it, and we said it's to implement the convenience factor. As I said and say all the time, three ways that they always make these things happen for people: security, safety, and convenience. Now, save a little bit of money, because instead of buying a passport, you just get one of these driver's licenses. And now, instead of a passport, you just have a regular driver's license, which you need anyway. So you might as well get one with a chip, because now you can just fly across the border. Easy as pie. Stay with us. Back in three.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. Sure, you've got a mortgage and credit cards. Your debt creation is probably the smartest thing you've ever done. How would it be to find $75,000, $150,000, $200,000 or more you never knew you had? Now the task force has strategies to make these debts into virtual savings accounts. Ben Franklin said, a penny saved is a penny earned. By doing nothing more than you're doing right now, because you've used your credit, the right strategies can make the debt part of your financial life the smartest thing you've ever done. Oh, by the way, your strategies cost you nothing out of pocket. Go ahead and check out the debt elimination scams if you'd like to. You wouldn't take money from a loan shark, so you may not want to give your money to a debt shark. For an understanding of what a financial genius you truly are, call 800-409-5633. On the web, mydebtfreepath.com. 800-409-5633.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately one in four families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
Anymore, I want them to turn black.
welcome back. You're listening, of course, to Frankly Speaking Radio, tail end of our first hour. And it's flying by. We are immersed in some news, folks. This one from Engadget.com, and it came out on the 26th. And Washington State drivers, as of January 2008, they can now optionally get themselves an RFID chip-embedded driver's license that will allow them to, of course, cross the border, because it will contain information about their citizenship, and it will contain other unnamed variables. That's a quote. I don't know what that means. Maybe that's your medical records. Maybe it's your Social Security number. Maybe it's your vital statistics. Maybe it's your likes and dislikes, turn-ons and turn-offs. Who knows? For now, the new cards will remain optional and will cost only $40. Now, that is compared to a $97 passport, however. But this new driver's license will require an interview in person along with proof of American citizenship. Gosh, as if a day at the DMV didn't take long enough, now you have to have an in-person interview. I don't know why, because they're making it feel like, you know, it's hard-earned, I guess, so you want it more. You know what I mean? It's like anything else. If you're on eBay or any one of those auction sites and there's a piece of belly button lint, and the belly button lint is, you're like, huh, who would want that? And you say, I'll bid on it. It'll be a good joke. And you bid on it. You bid like a penny. Somebody comes in with like 10 bucks. You're like, what? 10 bucks? I won't lose. I have to have this now. It's the same thing. It's like your driver's license. I want one of these drivers. Well, I don't know. You have to get through this interview. Oh, I'm going to get through this interview. Watch how good I do at this interview. What information do you want? You want my fingerprints? Here you go. You want a blood sample? Slash. Here. Let me bleed all over you. Here. Anything to get my hands on one of these new RFID embedded driver's licenses. I might be exaggerating a bit. Just a smidge. Story concludes, the underlying reasoning for the trial is that the changes to federal security rules, which make it a requirement for all citizens, American or not, to prove their identity when entering the United States by sea or land. Accompanying the trial is the usual series of justifications by authorities like Homeland Security Secretary Michael Chertoff, who said, quote, it is security for our nation and our state, but it is also security for the individual, end quote. Whew. Well, that's good, because I felt very insecure. I know that if a mugger runs up to me with a gun, he's like, give me your wallet. I'll say, ha, I have the RFID embedded driver's license. I am safe. And of course, he'll run scurrying off into the shadows, undoubtedly. Story goes on. Stockwell Day, Canada's public safety minister, even threw in the obligatory 9/11 reference by reminding us that, quote, Canadians also died in those towers. Ah, that's right. Not only does it make you personally, individually safe by having this RFID-embedded driver's license, also it repels airplane strikes. I didn't know that, but now we do. But again, of course, I'm being completely and totally facetious, because it's easier than just sitting here screaming into the microphone for 4 hours. I just don't think my vocal cords could take that. What I'm getting at here, folks, quite simply is this. It's justification, it's rationale, and they're trying to find every way possible that they can do it. They're trying to scare you into needing it, you know, sort of entitle you into wanting it, and make it easy, convenient, and affordable. Certainly more affordable than a passport, especially if you're used to maybe making that trip across the border because you live so close. Don't believe the hype, ladies and gentlemen. We need to start thinking for ourselves here. We need to stop kowtowing to the fear-mongering of the politicians and get past all this. Whether they're foreign politicians or American politicians, when they start saying 9-11, 9-11, 9-11 in order to get their agenda across, then you know that there's a problem with their agenda. Don't you think? Stay with us. We're back in 90 seconds with hour number two of our soon-to-be Friday morning edition of Frankly Speaking Radio. Stay with us.